Philippians chapter 2, Christmas gifts. You know, it's supposed to be the Lord's birthday, you know, not ours. Amen. Of course, we've turned that all around. That's the way old sinful flesh should do things. Turn something spiritual into something carnal. But have you ever wondered what God gave to His Son? Now, when my kids were growing up, we didn't have much money. We'd do whatever we could, but we didn't have much money. My wife didn't work till after they got old enough to go to school, you know. And so I'd get laid off and go back to work and get laid off and try and serve the Lord too. But they had their needs met, and more than that, we'd give them extra. But then sometimes you think about God the Father, if He gave His Son something, what did He give Him? So I got in that mindset, and I thought about that. What has God given Christ? What has God given Christ? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So I got thinking along those lines. What did He give Christ? Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him." And here it is. "And given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So, it tells me right there that God has given Jesus Christ some things. So as I looked up that, I thought, well, He didn't give Him houses. He had no house. He didn't give Him a lot of clothes. He only had one suit of clothes. He didn't have a lot of money. He paid His taxes from a coin they called in a fish. He slept. He said His pillow was a stone. He stayed at some people's houses, other people's houses sometime. He owned nothing on planet Earth. So what did God give His Son? John 17:2. John 17:2. I hope my voice holds out. It's a lot better than it was. I think Ron Robson gave this to me. I hugged his neck Sunday. Had to get rid of it. John 17:2, "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." There's two things in there that God gave His Son. Number one, He gave Him supreme power above all flesh. He's given Him power over all flesh. There's never been a man, though he owned no property, though he had no money in a bank, he was still the most powerful man that ever walked planet Earth. He changed history like no other man's ever changed history. And He's still changing people. He's still doing that. But then the last part at first says, "And that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." God gave Him us. God gave Him us. You know, sometimes a husband will look at his wife and she'll have a baby and he'll say, "Thank You for my son. You've given me a son." And turn that right around, and God gave His Son to mankind so that we could be given to Him. So God gave us to Him. Now we belong to Him. You didn't choose Him. He chose you. God chose you. Like that boy said Sunday, he felt like the preacher was preaching right at him. He said, "I didn't understand anything he was talking about, but I felt he was talking to me." And see, that's God calling him. That wasn't him calling God, that's God calling him. Now, if he'll answer that call, God will give him the opportunity for him to call on God. If he rejects that opportunity, God will let him. But if God wants to give him to Jesus Christ to make him one of His. Now, I thank God that March 5th, 1978, I wasn't much to get, but God gave me to his son. And I've been in his hands ever since. Amen? Boy, I like that. And he gave power over all flesh. Now, he's powerful enough to keep me. Now that God's given me, Jesus Christ is powerful enough to keep me. All the devils in hell could not take me out of the hand of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, you're in my hand. And then he goes on to say, my hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out because he's the most powerful on planet Earth. People say, ain't you scared of the devil? I said, no, not as long as I got Jesus Christ. Ain't you scared of getting sick and dying or tragedy and all that? No, he's got power over every bit of that. And whatever he chooses, that's his choice. And he's got the authority, he's got the power to take care of me in any situation. Amen? Romans chapter 8 tells us that. And then in John chapter 5, look at verse 17. John chapter 5, verse 27, 5:27. Well, we'll have to read verse 26 to make it clear. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, God gave him the authority to judge. Sometimes we'll be trying to witness to people or trying to help people, and they'll say, don't you judge me. And what I want to say is, I'm not judging you. There's already one that has the authority and the position that he can judge you. And I'm just telling you what he says. Amen? If you get locked up or a ticket or something, they'll say, here's your court date. Now, you can't argue about that. You've got to appear before the judge, and the judge can decide on whether or not you're guilty. That's out of your hands now. He has the authority to do that. It doesn't matter what you say. The judge has the authority and the right to determine your destiny, and the Lord Jesus Christ now has the right and the authority to determine our eternal destiny and whether or not something is right or wrong, holy or unholy. Only he has that. So we don't judge people. We just tell them what God says. We just tell them what God says. That's all we do. We just quote the judge. Amen. That's all we can do. So he's got he's given him power over all flesh, and he's given the authority to judge. Now, you go on, and I'm sure there's nobody like this, but there's a lot of people. You just go on, do anything you want to, and think that you're going to get by with it. But I've got news for you. There is a judge. Amen. And he has the authority and the right to judge you. He created you. By him you consist. If it wasn't for him, you'd fly all to pieces. Now, God's given that authority to him. Muhammad doesn't have that authority. Buddha doesn't have that authority. Nobody else. The Pope doesn't have that authority. I told y'all the other week, young lady called me and said her husband was in the hospital and she was wanting to call a priest, because she was Catholic, to give him his last rites. Her husband was raised in a Baptist home. He said, no, don't you call no priest in here. You call a Baptist preacher. You call that preacher. We went down there at that funeral. You call Ron Roddy up here. And went up there and prayed over him. He's home now. But she was wanting to go ahead and give the right to judge whether he lived or died to some stinking priest. He doesn't have that authority. Amen. He doesn't have that authority. And he doesn't have. And by the way, that priest would tell her, if he doesn't have his last rites through the Catholic Church, he'd go to hell. But he doesn't have that authority to say that. Only Jesus Christ has that authority. And by the way, what happens to all the people that don't get the last rites? Do they all go to hell? Who made that determination? The Catholic Church did. And they don't have the authority to do that. Amen? The cults will tell you, unless you get baptized in their church, their way, you can't be saved. Unless you get married in their church, their way, you aren't married. Unless you get buried in their church, their way, you don't go to heaven. Well, who gave them the authority to do that? Only Jesus Christ has been given that authority by God Himself. You say, well, preacher, you just mean. No. I'm just telling you what the judge said. Amen? And I had this fellow one time, he got mad at me. He done cussed me. It didn't bother me, so he got mad and said, who you think you are, Ron the Baptist? I had never heard that. I was a young man. I said, no, but that sounds good. I said, yeah, I like that. But I don't have the authority to judge. The only God's got that authority. Amen. Through His Son. Amen? Amen? Now the devil might come tell you you're going to hell, but he don't have the authority to tell you that. The devil might come tell you that you're condemned because of something you've done. But he doesn't have the right or the authority to do that. Only Jesus Christ has that right or that authority. And by the way, if you've been saved and you did sin and somebody told you was going to hell, that was the devil told you that. Because Jesus Christ told you to have eternal life. You'd never die. Amen? Amen. Now y'all watch who you have. Now you have to hand that authority over to somebody. When you get old and they think you're losing your mind, which some of us is probably already there. They want you to sign the power of attorney over to somebody younger in the family or something. Why they want you to do that? Because they want the authority to make the judgments that you want to make. Well, God looked down at His Son and He said, I'm going to give you power of attorney. You can make those judgments. Amen? Amen. And then God gave to him John 5:36. In verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now, not only did He give him power over all flesh and authority to judge, but He gave him works to finish. Now, he said, God the Father's gave me these works that I can do these. Nobody's ever done these things. I don't know how I did it. I flipped channels and I found Leroy Jenkins. I thought he was dead. He looks like it. He still dyes that hair jet black. And he's running around in there healing people. Crowd ain't near as big as it used to be. But he was prophesying over them, telling them things like that. And those poor ignorant people, they don't know. He doesn't have the authority to do those works. Only Jesus Christ can do that. Amen? Amen. Now, I'll just tell you right now, if anybody ever gets healed, it's because of him. Jesus Christ did things that no man could ever do. At first, it was give sight to a blind man. Then, it was give hearing to a deaf man. Then it was giving speech to a dumb man. But then it was raising a little girl from the dead on the way to the graveyard. Amen? Amen. And then, to prove even more than that, he went down to the graveyard and raised one. Amen? Amen. Nobody's ever done that. Next time you meet Leroy, say, let's go down to Memorial Park and see what kind of power you really got. What kind of works you can really do if you're of God. Go out there and call out somebody's name and see who comes up. Amen? Amen. Only God gave him those works. Nobody's ever done those works. I've never read where they attributed Muhammad to him one miracle. Never. Never. I've never read where they attributed not one miracle to Buddha. They certainly didn't raise the dead. I've never seen that. I've never seen where Joseph Smith, the cult leader of the Mormons, ever gave somebody their sight back. Have you? Oh, that old Kadesh guy down in Texas. You won't see where he didn't do nothing but produce babies. He didn't have any works. Jim Jones, that other cult leader that had 900 people killed. You'll never see where he did one miracle, not one miracle. God gave that to his son. Amen. Somebody came in here Sunday. I forget who it was. Oh, it was Mike. Brought his son, didn't you? And he introduced him to him. Well, I'd forgotten him. And they could tell I forgot him. And he said, "You remember him? You saved him." I said, "I hope the Lord saved him." Because I don't have the authority to do that work. Amen. I can lead you to him, but I can't save you. Like that guy come up there in the jailhouse that time I was preaching. He was carrying a family Bible under his arm. It's wonderful how men get religion in jail. You ever notice that? Had a family Bible. That thing was tattered and torn, marked up. Had all kinds of stickers and stuff on it. He said, "You remember me? You remember me?" I said, "I don't remember you." He said, "You saved me." I said, "Yeah, you look like somebody I saved." "You're in jail." He said, "No, when I was in jail before, that's when you got, when you saved me." Didn't work. I don't have the authority to do that work. Amen? And you don't either. And matter of fact, better be careful taking credit for the works of Jesus Christ. Amen. Better be careful of how you talk about the works of Jesus Christ. You forget he's supernatural. And you forget that the Bible says that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost, is attributing the works of God to the devil. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out how you talk about the works of Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't make fun of somebody when Jesus Christ saved them. Now, you make fun of them if I do it. You make fun of Leroy Jenkins does it. But if God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, saved somebody, you best just leave them alone. Amen? Amen. You better love them, be their friend, what you better do. But see, God gave great works to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then not only that, in John 5:36 again, "But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father sent me." Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave him and I don't know how to explain it really, but he gave him the gift of others being able to look at his works, and his works bear witness that God did that. See, that's a gift. You can't blame it on nobody else. Amen. And then he also said in that verse, "I have a greater witness than that of John." You know what that means? He said, now John the Baptist, there's a lot of people. A lot of people. And they say John the Baptist was one next to Jesus, the greatest man ever walked. And he had a great testimony. And people bragged on his works. But Jesus told him, he said, "I've got a greater witness than what John has." Boy, that's a blessing. Only God can give us a testimony like that. Now, you can go on, you can be good as you can be, but if a great testimony comes from God, you can't be good enough to please people. And even when you try, you're going to fail anyway. And so if you've got a great witness, a great testimony from God, that's a great gift that not many people has that, see. I mean, around this town, you call my name, you better duck or pucker. They might want to kiss you. They might want to hit you. Amen? But he had a greater witness than any man's ever had. God gave him that. Through the works, through the judgment, through the power of all flesh, God gave him that great witness. And he also gave him great glory. And that's a glorious thing, to have a great witness. Now you and I, people might know our testimony, but there's very few people that others, lost people, or even saved people, will give glory to. People don't like to give out glory really easily. I mean, they'd rather beat you up than lift you up. They'd rather criticize you than praise you. And so if somebody's giving you glory, you know what you need to do? You need to say, don't give it to me. It all come from him. Amen. Every bit of it. I remember old Johnny Coley. I'd go place with him. He'd buy me stuff. I think he felt sorry for me. He'd buy me stuff. He had money. He'd buy me stuff. I say, thank you, Brother Johnny. He said, don't thank me. All good gifts come from Father above. Amen. I'll never forget. Took him to pastor school. First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. Great fundamental church. And that year, the theme, the whole week, the theme was on the King James Bible. And the choir had sang the rock he was hewn out of or something, song we don't sing much. And they started singing that hallelujah chorus. We was up in the balcony. We was three rows from the front of the balcony. And boy, that choir, hallelujah. And boy, when they got to the top of that song, I looked over at Johnny Coley, was about that big around, and he was about that tall. He was standing up in the pew like this, looking up in heaven, crying, just tears running down off his face. I looked over, and there's Brother Terry standing over there, leaning over the balcony, crying, waving like this over that balcony. Because that night, Jesus got all the glory. Amen? Amen. It was his glory. God gave him glory. God gave Jesus souls. Every soul that was ever saved, God gave it to him. Amen. See, you were a gift. You were a gift, Brother Ron. You were a gift from God the Father to God the Son. Now, the world probably didn't think much of you. They thought of you as a pair of wore-out socks. But the Father thought a lot of you, and he took you over to his Son and said, Son, look what I brought you today. And Jesus Christ said, hallelujah. I can do something with that. I can do something with that. I'll take that old lump of coal and I'll make a diamond out of that. And one day, I'll bring him back to you and you'll get all the glory, Father. Amen? Now, that's some things that he gave him. Now, my voice is running out, so I got to hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're supposed to go see my grandkids up in Asheville tomorrow. So y'all pray for me, I'll be able to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at 24. I don't know why they worry about these things staying in the dump for centuries. They fall apart while you're drinking water out of them. First Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 24. In verse 24 he says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even of the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. Talking about God the Father to God the Son. He had put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest. That means it's easily seen. It's shown forth. That he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now, I want you to notice in there that God is going to give Jesus Christ the right to reign. He's putting it all under him. He's going to give him the right to reign the new world, the new earth, the new heaven. He's going to give him the right to be called Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They don't call him that right now. They don't call him that. We call him Lord, but he's not called Lord of Lords, King of Kings yet. But one day, God's going to give that to him. He's going to say, okay, now there's all creation. There's everything I've ever created. There's mankind, my best creation. Now I'm putting it under you. Now you go down there and take it. You go down there and take it. Cast that old devil in that down into that hell. And cast that old Antichrist and that false prophet and that beast down in the hell. And you rule that world for 1,000 years. It's yours. You just take care of it. Rule it with a rod of iron, because now I've given you that world and that authority to do that. Right now you don't do that. People say, well, why did God allow that car wreck? God didn't do that. No, why did God allow them to die in a car wreck? God didn't do that. The devil did that. The devil. But one day, God's going to give Jesus Christ to take death, hell, and the grave and cast it into the lake of fire. Now, God didn't do that. You look at these little old children. Some infidel, that's too big, I can't put that in there. Some infidel will say, why does God allow that little baby to get cancer? God didn't put that cancer on that baby. The devil did. The devil did that. Now God, if it's in his will, and if those folks believe him enough and they trust him, he can have mercy and heal that child. He can do that. But God didn't create all that stuff. The devil did. He started that way back in the Garden of Eden. When Cain killed Abel, he was there. And he's been there at every death ever since. Because he is the originator of death by turning Adam and Eve away from God that day. He originated death and sin and the grave that day. He knew he did it. But one day, Jesus is coming back in all his glory. And the Father's going to say, all right, son, go get them. Go get them. It's all yours. And he's going to give him all of creation to rule and to reign. And then one more. And you'll be going home early tonight. Can you believe that? Y'all go home and say the pastor had a sore throat. Thank God. Hallelujah. We got home before the pipes froze up. Most of y'all ain't never had no pipes froze up, have you? Us old people have. Amen. Amen. All right. One more. Look at John chapter 3 again. John chapter 3. Now, these are gifts that God has given his son. I'm sure you can probably find some more. I'm sure you can find some more. But these are the ones that I found. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look at verse 35. In John chapter 3. For the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. For the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now, we used to sing that song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he got the whole world. In his hands, he got the whole world in his hands. And then we say, he's got little bitty baby. In his hands, he got little bitty baby. In his hands, he got, and he got me and you's brother. In his hands, and then we got me and you's sister. In his hands, he got the whole world in his hands. Some of y'all young people ain't never heard that, have you? Well, when I was a kid going to hell, I heard that song. I didn't know what it meant. And you know what? He does. He's got the whole world in his hand. Did you know nothing can happen on planet Earth that doesn't go through God the Father and then God the Son first? Nothing can happen. Hey, this place belongs to Him. Now, I know a lot of times we get discouraged and we get brokenhearted and we get down and we think, well, the Lord don't even know what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on. It had to go through Him before it got to you. We act like there's things going on in the world that the Lord don't even know about. He knows exactly what's going on. Didn't take Him by surprise. He knew before He ever created the world that was going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
He's all powerful, all knowing, all present. Hey, He before time was ever created, He could have told you what was going to happen this day right now. So don't think that the Lord has lost control of creation. He has not. You see, carnal man cannot communicate with a supernatural God. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you won't even understand this stuff, you must be born again first. And in 2 Corinthians 2:14, for the natural man understands not things of the spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. You've got to be born again to become a spiritual being to understand God who is a spirit. See? That'd be like me trying to communicate, and like some of you do, with a dog. Now, I know you think that dog understands you, but he don't. Here's what he understands, or she. Here's what they understand. You listen to that stupid human being long enough, it don't matter what they say, they're going to give you something. That's all they know. If I stand here and wag my tail, they're going to give me something. You look at that stupid dog and say, you're a stupid dog. He'll go, you're ugly. He'll go, I hate you. Because he's programmed to know if I just stand and look cute long enough, they're going to throw something to me. And that's almost like a lost human being trying to worship and understand a God who's a spirit. And God looks down and says, the wages of sin is death. That lost man goes, God loves everybody. He's going to give me something good. Y'all see what I'm saying? And now one day, God Himself, He's going to look over to His Son. He said, now all that's in your hands. Do whatever you want to with it. And I'm glad. Because look, when I put stuff in my hands, I always mess it up. And the older I get, the worse I get. You know, when I was young, I knew everything. If you'd asked me, I'd told you that. I said, if I don't know, I know how to find it, figure it out or something, you know. I was talking to this boy one day, trying to witness to him, talking about the Bible. I said, you don't ever read the Bible? No, no, no. I said, what do you read? I don't read nothing. So why not? He said, well, I finished high school. I got me a job. I bought me a truck. I got me some guns. I know how to hunt. I know how to fish. I know how to work and get a paycheck. What else do I need to know? I said, you need to know you're a sinner going to hell. I said, you need to know the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I said, there's a lot of things you need to know. See, he didn't know that God is in control. And look, all God has to do is that last breath take it away from him. Before he ever even took it in, God would say, nope, the other one was your last one. That's it. That last heartbeat, God could grab him. My Lord said, that was your last one right there. It's all in his hands. We live, the Bible says, we live and breathe in Him. It's just the grace of God we're here tonight. I'll go follow that. It's just the grace of God. You're not some depraved maniac. It's just the grace of God. You're not in jail. You know why? It's in His hands. By the way, a lot of us, if we got what we deserve, we'd probably be in jail. Say amen on that one. I know not everybody in here, but a lot of us. Amen. And then, guess what? It's just the grace of God. We live and breathe. Brother Ron, me and you smoked enough cigarettes to make a building big as this building right here. It's just the grace of God. We're breathing. Come on, help me. And don't act so holy, those that don't smoke. Y'all have eaten enough ham and bacon. Clogged 25 arteries already. Just the grace of God, your heart still can beat and pump blood. I hate it when people act holier than thou when they talk about smokers. What about bacon eaters? What about greasy chicken eaters? Preacher said one time, said, in Church of God, he was Church of God preacher. He said, you go down the aisle in Church of God to join the church, and the first thing they ask you is not, are you saved? First thing they ask you, do you smoke? He said, but you can be 900 pounds and just barely make it down there, and the guy don't say, do you eat too much? Do you smoke? It's just the grace of God. All things are in His hands. Look, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil would have been killed us a long time ago. He's tried already. Most of you didn't even know it when he tried, but he's tried. Some of us knew it when he tried. I could tell you some experiences when the devil tried to kill me. Amen? I knew he was in the room. I knew it. Didn't have enough sense to get out, but I knew something was going on. And look, one day it's all going to be turned over to him, but until then, God's given him all things. It's already given to him. The devil cannot win. The world can't win. The flesh can't win. Jesus is already the victor. He's not waiting to come back to be the victor. He's already the victor. The problem is the world, flesh, and devil just don't recognize that. Well, when he comes back on his horse with his sword, I'll get saved. You'll die and go to hell. You'll die and go to hell. Because, see, you don't believe it now. You won't believe it then either. Because, see, he's not going to be Lord. He's already Lord. Lord means master. Master. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because He is my friend. But then instead of leaving Him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back again and cried, "How can you be so slow?" "My child," he said, "what could I do? You never did let go." Why don't you let Him be Lord? Why don't you just let Him be master of everything? Why don't you just turn it loose and let Him have it? If your children die and go to hell, put it on His hands. If your grandchildren don't get saved, put it on Him. You pray for them. You be a good witness. You be a good testimony. Husband, wife, brother, sister, put it on Him. He's big enough to carry it. I've heard women say, "I laid my husband on the altar," but then see him go back and fuss at him. I say, you didn't lay him on the altar. You'd have said, "God's got you. I ain't got no need to fuss at you no more." You're gonna mold and bend what He wants you to do, or you'll die. I just gave you to Him. Amen? What we need to do is every once in a while we need to look at people and say, "Look, I gave you to Jesus. He's the Lord. He's the Maker. He's the King. And I can't do nothing with you, so I'm going to give you to Him. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, He's the Judge. And He knows what's right from wrong. And He has the authority to judge you and bring punishment. If I was you, I'd find out more about Him instead of watching me.
Amen.
Somebody call you a hypocrite, say, you're right. Say, you're right, I am a hypocrite. Sometimes I'm like James. Sometimes that which I would do, I do not. I mean, Paul. And sometimes that which I would not, that I do. That's a hypocrite. Yeah, I am. But I got news for you. There's one that's got me in his hands who's never failed and never fallen. And look, he's not a hypocrite. He's 100% righteousness. And I'm not counting on me to get to heaven. I want to go and I'm doing the best I can. But I'm counting on Him. He's the Lord. I ain't. I put it on Him. If I die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it. Amen? Amen. Well, that's some things that God's given His Son. Let's stand. Come on up, Dan. Lead us in this last song.